Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name of the one who is above all principality and power, the name of the one that you desire to be the head of all things in every church. Father, help me now and guide me as I teach on this broadcast. May everything that's said on this program serve to glorify you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Said you live for Jesus, give to Him your all. He has saved your soul, raised you from the dead. Now the Lord is asking, did you mean what you said? Did you mean what you said? Can you walk away? Can you say goodbye? Can you give it up and leave it all behind? Change directions in the middle of the stream. Heaven's blessings, felt the Spirit move. Now you keep your distance, you pass the church with dread. And the Lord is asking, did you mean what you said? Did you mean what you said? Can you walk away? Can you say goodbye? Can you give it up and leave it all behind? Where the Spirit leads, could you change directions in the middle of the stream? To others, and you've testified, given God the glory as you've wept and cried. Now the devil's saying, follow me instead. And the Lord is asking, did you mean what you said? Did you mean what you said? Can you walk away? Can you say goodbye? Can you give it up and leave it all behind? Will you follow me where the Spirit leads? Will you change directions in the middle of the stream?
That's the Mike Anderson family, husband Mike, wife Debbie, daughter Celeste, and Angela. They play the instruments in that song. They wrote that song. They live that song. It would be good if all Christians, all churches, would open their eyes, grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom regarding God's church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the principles in the Word of God concerning His church, His spiritual wife, His spiritual bride. He loved the church and gave himself for it, and he lays out very distinct principles for his church. Churches violate those principles by incorporating, getting 501c3, or becoming legal entities in any manner. Dear friends, I'm now going to take up where I left off last week. I was dealing with the subject after salvation, Christians growing in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and specifically the spiritual warfare that we as Christians are called to engage in. God's Word describes the nature of a church body and the function of each of her members. Within church bodies, God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:11-13. And I continue in verses 14 and 15. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Near the end of this broadcast, maybe even in the second segment, I'm going to begin to read to you some letters from pastors that I receive by email concerning articles I send out over the internet and make available on my blog, Separation of Church and State Law, which you can get to by going to GeraldFinney.wordpress.com, but even better by going to the website Church and State Law and going to the blog page, where you'll find links to all my audio teachings and articles that are on the blog. But I'm going to read those letters and show you that even a lot of pastors are baby Christians. They're still on milk. They have no concept of the principles in the Word of God concerning the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of government, the doctrine of separation of church and state. Let me also read to you from 1 Corinthians 12:4-27 concerning the church body. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. For there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Many church members do not understand and apply that last portion of scripture I read from 1 Corinthians 12:4-27. Instead of suffering with a suffering member, many times church members make another member or other members suffer or add to another suffering rather than manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." Many church members do not manifest the fruit of the Spirit toward a suffering member. Other members may be jealous instead of rejoicing when God or man honors a fellow member. Furthermore, many church members believe they have no need for someone with a gift that they do not have, since they feel they are totally gifted in all matters. So when another member doesn't believe or act like they believe they should, or when another member doesn't do what they want or in the manner they think something should be done, according to the criteria set down by legalistic brothers or sisters, those legalists make life miserable for the object of their disdain. What a way for Christians to act. What an effect this has on the church body. Many believers think they are endowed with all knowledge. They have all the answers and do not need to study some subjects, such as law, history, the biblical doctrines of the church, government, and separation of church and state, and the practical application of that to things such as incorporation, 501c3. They act this way since they already know it all. They are like the jailhouse lawyer, incarcerated for some time, who suddenly reads a few cases and laws and knows it all. Jailhouse lawyers go to their lawyer, who may be a good one who has studied the law diligently for years and has his client's best interest in mind. And that jailhouse lawyer will say something like, "I should be out today because of this sentence right here in this case." Little does he know how that one sentence fits into the facts of the case, if at all, in the vast sea of relevant cases, statutes, constitutional law, and so forth, much less the mindsets of the judges and prosecutors with whom his attorney must contend. Very similar to this, a disgruntled church member who is more concerned about his money than he is about pleasing God argues, for example, "I can give more if I can take my tax deduction, and it makes it easier to take a tax deduction if the church will incorporate and get 501c3 tax exempt status from the civil government." This member is blind and cannot see. He has not studied the biblical principles, and he believes he doesn't need to. He knows the answer as to this matter, and he may be a great Christian in some other ways, but he's fallen way short on this issue, which is of great importance to God. This kind of church member refuses further light, so God will leave him where he is on this issue, and he will continue to operate in the dark and against the principles of God, at least as to this matter. This type of attitude will only contribute to the continued decline of churches and the salvation of souls in America. And I must also mention that there are many quote-unquote Christian lawyers running around telling churches they've got to incorporate, instilling fear into churches and pastors and Christians against the principles of the Word of God and against the facts within the legal system, making good money prostituting God's churches. I guess you might say that in that respect, those lawyers are spiritual pimps. So as we have seen, God desires His children and His churches to proceed according to their new spiritual nature and not according to their earthly, fleshly nature. How can they do this? Church members and the entire church body are to rejoice in the fact that the Lord has called born-again members within a church to exercise spiritual gifts. The entire body should encourage and support every other member, no matter how insignificant or significant that member's particular gift, honoring the less gifted more than the more gifted. At the same time, God desires that every member also seek to grow in biblical wisdom and understanding on important issues. John 8:31-32 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Hebrews 5:12-13 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Our time is almost up for this segment. I'll be back in a few minutes. My name is Gerald Finney. I'm a licensed attorney who specializes in church and state law. I'll be back in a few minutes.